Rise and shine, everyone. How's it going out there? This is Amy, and it is time for another episode of Amy's Kids Show, episode number 178. And we are going to continue celebrating an amazing president of the United States, a president who was an amazing, amazing man. So many things that I am learning about Abraham Lincoln. It's got me thinking about Abraham Lincoln for sure. I've been thinking a lot about him, getting ready for the show, learning about all the amazing things that he did. And I'm not even talking about once he was president. I'm talking about all of the amazing things in his life that led up to becoming president. All the things that happened even before that, that got him ready, that prepared him, that told him that, yes, he was the perfect man for that job. And today we're going to keep learning about his life, because I've been reading from a book called Abraham Lincoln by Ingrid and Edgar Perrin d'Alere. And they wrote this book a long time ago, about 100 years ago, about Abraham Lincoln, who had lived about 100 years before that. And we are learning some of the legends and the stories that are told about Abraham Lincoln, because we can learn a lot from what he learned when he was growing up, and the things that he did and the things that he experienced, and just all the talents that he had, right? Because he started out like a little kid, right? Like we all do, like little kids. And we all have special talents. All of you listening out there, you all have special talents that you're only just discovering. No matter what age you are, you're still only just discovering how many, many talents you have. So maybe learning about Abraham Lincoln will inspire you, right? To realize just how many talents you have, and how even sometimes things that are hard are really helpful for us in the long run, because they're actually getting us ready for the future. And that's a lot of what we're going to be learning about today. We're going to carry on with Abraham Lincoln's story, where we left off. And just keep in mind that 100 years before Abraham Lincoln was born, right, there was another president called George Washington. And George Washington inspired Abraham Lincoln. So see how it works, guys? George inspired Abe. Abe inspired the authors of this book. The authors of this book have inspired me, and now I am here to inspire you. And who are you going to inspire today? Oh, I'm sure lots of people. Let's get started.
All right. Some of them see it, some don't know that life's a treasure, sure as you're born. What would you pay to cross over
mighty wide river as you can see?
Some pay plenty, some pay little,
some pay nothing, ride for free.
See all the people, God Almighty,
come to the river to cross on by.
I pull this flatboat, cross this river,
I'll be going by and by. Faith lets us all cross over to the unknown other side. Each crossing gives us courage that everything is all right. Each crossing gives us courage that everything is all right.
Well, folks, we're going to keep reading and learning about Abraham Lincoln. Well, I'm going to do the reading. You just have to listen if you like. And I'm continuing this book by Ingrid and Edgar Perrin du Allaire. And they wrote this book called Abraham Lincoln. And so far, we started out the day Lincoln was born. Abraham was born in 1812 in a log cabin. How amazing. Or I'm sorry, no, wait a minute. February 12th is his birthday, 1809. Sorry about that. 1809 in a log cabin. Abraham Lincoln was born. And right away, pretty much, he started helping his dad on the farm, plowing and planting. And we talked about how simple the plow was that he was using back then. And he only got to go to school for about a year. And he learned to read and write, and then he went back to work on his father's farm. But don't worry, that's not going to be the last bit of help that he gets from a school teacher. No, we're going to learn about that today, how Abraham kept learning, even as a grown-up. we also learned about how Abe fell into a brook one day when he was crossing a log to go visit his friend. He was walking across a slippery log, and he fell in, and his friend luckily came along and fished him out with a pole, a long stick that he found to help Abe get out of the water. And do you think that scared Abe away from water forever? No way. We're going to learn about that today. He continues to have water adventures. Don't worry. He was a very brave man, the more I learn about it, and a very brave boy and teenager. And so then his dad decided to move to Indiana. And so that's where Abraham helped his father build a house, which started out with only three walls, and they lived in that for the first winter. And then his mother died, and his father remarried, and his stepmother loved him so much. She loved books, and she loved to let Abraham read books late into the night. And he practiced writing on a shovel with a piece of coal because he had no paper to practice writing. He had only a few books, and he would walk for miles to get those. And so this is the story of Abraham Lincoln. We're going to carry on where we left off. Abe grew straight up into the air like a fir tree. Long and thin he was, with big hands and feet jutting out. His buckskin breeches were always too short and too tight, and made blue circles in his legs, where they squeezed him. Often, for days at a time, Abe stayed alone in the woods, chopping timber. It was so quiet in the forest, and he had plenty of time to think and dream. At mealtimes, he shared his food with the squirrels, and in return, they had to listen to the speeches he made up. The squirrels blinked their small brown eyes, and the trees seemed to bow in agreement with what he said. He made a poem for his sister Sally, and when she married and left home, he read it at her wedding. Abe also left home for a while to be a ferryman on the Ohio River. The great Ohio River flowed by some miles from Little Pigeon Creek, and it was there that he made his first dollar. Two elegant travelers gave him a shiny half dollar each for rowing them out to the steamboat that lay anchored in midstream. But as he stood there in his ferry boat, wondering that anyone could pay so much for so little work, one of the coins slipped out from between his fingers. Sadly, Abe saw half of his new wealth vanish in the depths. But Abe hadn't much time to grieve over his loss. Too many things happened on the river. He looked wide-eyed at the boats and listened to tales of the outside world. Then one day, one of the neighboring farmers sent Abe himself out into the world. With a flat boat loaded with hogs and corn, the farmer's son and Abe set off to go all the way down to New Orleans to trade. They drifted with their boat down the Ohio River and into the great Mississippi. There, Abe needed all his strength and quick thinking to steer clear of the many dangers. Paddle wheel steamers splashed up and down the river so hard that the water churned in a foam about them. Flatboats and keelboats and houseboats and strings drifted into their path. Dangers lurked behind every bend. Sandbars were washed up by the current, and straggling trees, sticking up from the bottom, threatened to pin the boat up in the air like a beetle. Along the shores, river pirates lay in hiding, waiting for nightfall to come. Well, one night, as Abe and his friend had made fast their boat at the bank, five vicious pirates came sneaking on board to rob them. But they hadn't counted on the strength of Big Abe. He grabbed an oar, fought them all at once, and chased them far into the swamp. Abe could never forget this night for the rest of his life. He had a white scar over his eyebrow to show for it. The further south they drifted, the more Negro slaves they saw working on the cotton fields. And when, at last, they came to New Orleans, there were black slaves everywhere. Some were running about with loads on their heads. Others were led in chains through the streets to be sold at slave markets. And Abe saw how Negroes were trotted up and down like horses to show that they were strong and healthy. The Negro mothers were weeping, for they never knew if they would ever see their little babies again when they were sold. Sometimes, the one who bought the mother would refuse to take the children, and then they would be sold to someone else, and the family would be broken up. Abe Lincoln thought that was cruel, and when the cargo and the flatboat were sold, he was glad to go north again to his Indiana home, where everyone was free. There, all the neighbors came to hear him tell of his adventures out in the big world. They never tired of hearing about the river pirates and slave markets, and they all grinned broadly when he told of the fortune teller who had told Abe that he, Abraham Lincoln, would one day be president of the United States. Abe's father was listening to stories about Illinois, the new prairie state, where folks said the grass grew greener than anywhere else. "I reckon we'll be moving on," he said one day. So one early spring morning, the Lincolns set off again. This time in a wagon so huge that a 7-yoke ox team had to pull it. The wagon was crowded, for many relatives moved with them. They traveled on for 2 whole weeks through forests and swamps and rolling prairie. On long legs, Abe walked in front to peddle pins and buttons, when once in a while they passed a farm. You see, I gotta cut in here, folks. Back in the old days, you know, if you lived on a farm out in the country, you had really hardly ever got to go to town and buy things that you needed. So Abraham Lincoln was taking advantage of the fact that he was passing by these farms, so he would peddle. That means he would try to sell, you know, or offer to sell. I guess he had a collection of pins and buttons, which were very handy back then, right? So he would see if the farmers needed any of those things as he was passing by. When they came to the Sangamon River in Illinois, they liked the land, and they put up a cabin. Abe split mountains of rails for fences. 1,000 rails he split for a neighbor to get himself a pair of jeans. That was much work for a pair of pants. But then his legs were long, too, so it took many yards of cloth to cover them. And when spring came, he said goodbye to his father and stepmother. Abe put his belongings into a bundle, threw it over his shoulder, and he set out into the world to try his luck all on his own. For now he had reached 21 years old, and he was free to do as he pleased.
Aboard the boat, the vista changes quickly. The junction of the creek and the first larger river is a vivid indication that home, farm, and family are being left behind. But the handling of the boat and the adventures that lie ahead promise too much excitement to permit of loneliness yet. And drifting down the river yields novelties all its own. Perhaps along the passing banks, a farmer may be spied, and farmers who remain ashore provide fair game for the boatman.
That the best head didn't grow?
How's that?
I say, is that the best head didn't grow?
Looks better than that flatboat.
It's all right away where we come from. Where are you from? Brimstone.
What's your captain's name?
Whetstone.
What you loaded with?
Millstone.
Ought to be around your necks.
Be better farming land like that.
Banter is always welcome to relieve the heavy monotony of traveling down the rivers. Often there is nothing to do but drift and watch the passing shore. But there are times in the course of the trip when junctions with larger rivers offer diversion and danger.
Watch the sweeps, boy.
Yes, there is need for caution when a junction presents the peril of conflicting river currents. The careful handling of the sweeps keeps the boat away from the bank and out where the going is safe. The journey is not unbroken, and frequently along the way, stops are made for the night at likely spots along the bank. And the feel of solid ground is always welcome, ashore for a meal, a campfire, and sleep.
Women come down the river 95, we run into Plug's gang.
Didn't get you, did he?
No, we got Plug.
Another day, and again our boatmen proceed on their journey southward. Varied is the scenery that lies along the route. Here, rocky palisades. Ahead of them, falls in the river, rolling foothills. And at length, the low and level shores of the Mississippi Delta. But before their destination is reached, there is arduous work for all, especially for James, who mans the stern. The cargo that is stored aboard is precious. And whether at work with their sweeps or drifting along with the current, all are ever alert. Steadily, they move southward. And one day, the shores of the Ohio loom before the eyes of the crew. This is a welcome sight, for now the travel is swifter. But here, as everywhere, snags are a constant danger. Yet the broader river allows more time for rest. At last, the Mississippi that will carry them down to New Orleans, a fit occasion for music. Down the river they go, boatmen, cargo, and music. With them on their journey travels the strength and the courage, the spirit and the faith of the frontier.
Well, folks, are you beginning to imagine what it would have been like to live out there on the frontier with Abraham Lincoln when he was young? To take that flatboat, I was looking at pictures of flatboats when I was getting ready for the show today, and I was learning about them, and they were pretty cool little boats that just about anybody could make. That was the neat part of it, was all of these people who lived close enough to one of these rivers, right? One of these tributaries, one of these even little streams and brooks that led to these big rivers. Anyone who could put together a flat boat could get out there on that water. And imagine how freeing it must have felt to move with very little effort down that river after how hard it was to get around in general back then. I mean, when Abraham Lincoln moved with his dad and kept moving and moving, they had to use oxen, carts, and drag their stuff in wagons. And there was no such thing as even a railroad, as even a train to take back then. So every bit of motion took a lot of hard work, so getting out on those rivers was a great way to move your stuff that you wanted to go trade downstream. So Abraham Lincoln, what has he had practice with? Well, he's been reading books that he can borrow here, there, and everywhere. He's been practicing writing on a shovel. He's been working hard on the farm and building houses with his dad and split 1,000 rails for fencing for a neighbor to get his jeans. He is a hard worker. He's a tall guy. He grows really fast, apparently. And he likes to practice making speeches out in the woods for the squirrels and for the trees to bow to. I like that part. And he has learned from a fortune teller that he may become president. That's what the fortune teller told him. Interesting. So how do we know all these stories? Well, he probably kept telling these stories over and over again. He loved to tell stories. We've learned that about him already, right? People would come to hear about his adventures, so he got a lot of practice telling his stories. And now he's 21 years old, and he's free to do as he pleases. Well, what is this young man, Abraham Lincoln, going to do with himself? Well, a little further down the Sangamon River lay the village of New Salem. It had only a few dozen houses, but even Chicago did not have much more than that at the time. There were several stores in New Salem, and a man named Offutt was planning to open a new store. On one of his trips up the river, Offutt met Tall Abe and hired him as a clerk in the store that he was going to open. But at first, he sent him down to New Orleans with all sorts of goods to sell. Abe built a flatboat himself and drifted down the Sangamon River. But off New Salem, a miller had built a dam across the river. See, they had to use the rivers for energy back then for milling up trees and things. So a miller had built a dam across the river. And on his mill dam, Abraham's flatboat got stuck. All the people of the village stood on the bank and waited to see the flatboat sink. But Abe bored a hole in the boat and tipped it so that the water could flow out. And slowly, the flatboat slid over the dam. Then Abe put a wedge in the hole and drifted on down the river. There was a mighty smart fellow, everyone said. Offutt went around bragging and betting that his huge new clerk, named Abraham Lincoln, was not only smart enough to outwit them all, but also he was so strong that he could outrun, outjump, and outfight any man in the country. So when Abe came back to New Salem, all the strong boys were strutting about like roosters, eager to measure their strength against his. And Abe had to make good of Offutt's words. So he wrestled with the strongest and toughest of them all, and he threw them to the ground. Then the beaten boy and all the people cheered and said Abe was the strongest man in the county. From that day, they accepted Abe as one of them. They loved his funny ways and his jokes, and they nicknamed him Honest Abe. Once he charged a woman 6¼ cents too much, and he walked 3 miles to catch up with her and pay her back. That was just one of the famous stories about Honest Abe. Wow, so that's where he got his name, guys. Not only was he super smart, right, and was able to get his boat off of that dam where it was stuck, but he also was super strong. So he was building a reputation with people. And it turns out that those folks that he had beat in the wrestling match became some of his biggest fans. Yes, they did. They came to be big supporters of Honest Abe and even gave him his nickname. Isn't that fantastic? All right. Well, let's see here. What's going to happen next? But Abe's honesty wasn't enough to keep Offutt's store going. The debts grew bigger and bigger, and one morning, Offutt was gone. He disappeared, and there stood Abe, without a job. But just then, the men of New Salem were called to war, for an Indian chief, Black Hawk, had come back to Illinois with his warriors. His tribe had sold the land to the Paleface Americans. But Black Hawk said that the Great Spirit gave them the land and it could not be sold. So the Native Americans didn't understand this idea of selling. Well, sold is sold, said the people of Illinois. And so there was a war about the territory. We've been talking about that on Amy's Kids Show, territory, right? And how a lot of times that is where the disagreements and wars happen, is disputes over territory. So Abe Lincoln, because now he lives there, he's going to try to defend his territory. Abe Lincoln went to war as a captain. For the man from each village who had the longest row of men lined up behind him became elected the captain. And so twice as many men lined up behind Abe as behind his rival. So he was immediately elected a captain. So he was quite an impressive guy, right? Everywhere he went, he just immediately impressed people, probably partly due to how tall he was. But we're about to find out it was not just his height, right? It wasn't just his strength and his height that earned people's respect. Lincoln's soldiers had never taken orders from any man before. And so Captain Abe Lincoln struggled hard to make them obey him. Yeah, it's not all it's cracked up to be, right? Being captain is a tough job. What if people don't listen to you, right? Well, that was the problem he was having, even though he was tall and pretty smart, right? Well, that was all the fighting he had. For the Black Hawk and his warriors fled before the soldiers. So they didn't put up a fight. Thankfully, there was no fighting. One day, a peaceful old Indian came walking into camp. The soldiers were angry and wanted to kill him, but Abe said, "Anyone who touches him must fight me first." And because Abe was the strongest, they had to obey him. Well, soon after that, Black Hawk was taken prisoner, and the Indian War was over. Abe went back to New Salem, and he and another young man named Barry decided to open a store of their own. Both were poor, but Abe's good word was as good as gold, and so they borrowed the money, bought the goods, and started to trade. Very soon, Abe's friends were saying he was too clever to stand behind the counter all day long. He should go around making speeches so the people would elect him to go to the capital of Illinois and represent his area, right? And be a representative in the Illinois House of Representatives. Well, Abe thought this was a very good idea. He'd been practicing, right, guys? So he began going around making speeches and joking with the people. It's really important to joke with folks too, right? When he had mounted a tree stump, he would start in, "I am humble Abraham Lincoln." And the people liked what he said and his funny ways, and so they elected him. Every spring, he went to the Capitol. The rest of the year, he took care of his store. But all the time, he wanted to study to become a lawyer. And it happened that one day, as he was standing in his store, a covered wagon stopped at the door, and a stranger came in with a barrel of old stuff that he wanted to sell. Well, Abe had no need of the barrel, but he bought it for $0.50 to help the old man. And when he opened the barrel, guess what he found at the bottom? He found the book that he needed to study law. From then on, Abe lay most of the time on the counter at the store and studied the book. And the schoolmaster helped him with grammar and English. So here he is in his 20s, right? He's in his 20-something years old. And he's asking the school teacher to help him with his grammar and his English so that he can study this law book, which is just what he had always wanted to do. I just love that part of the story where he's wishing and wishing. He's out in the frontier and he's wishing that he could somehow study law. And what comes along? Well, a surprise comes along in the bottom of a barrel. And how did he get that barrel? by being generous, right? By thinking of others, by thinking, well, I don't really need what's in this barrel, but this guy really could use the money, so I'm just going to give him half a dollar for it anyway. And surprise! Well, you know, guys, that's kind of how, almost how I found this book. I found this book, Abraham Lincoln, in a free library right outside here, outside the radio station, on the day when I was finishing up my George Washington episode, and I was thinking, what am I going to do next? And there was this free book for me called Abraham Lincoln by Ingrid and Edgar Perrin de Haller. And that's what I've been reading from. And we're going to continue reading one more section today of me reading from the book. Thank you for joining me for Amy's Kids Show. We are celebrating Abraham Lincoln and floating on rivers because he liked to do that too.
I've got peace like a river, I've got peace like a river, I've got peace like a river in my soul. I've got peace like a river, I've got peace like a river, I've got peace like a river in my soul. I've got love like an ocean, I've got love like an ocean, I've got love like an ocean in my soul. I've got love like an ocean, I've got love like an ocean, I've got love like an ocean in my soul. I've got joy like a fountain, I've got joy like a fountain, I've got joy like a fountain in my soul. I've got joy like a fountain, I've got joy like a fountain, I've got joy like a fountain in my soul. I've got peace, love and joy like a river, I've got peace, love and joy like a river, I've got peace, love and joy like a river in my soul. I've got peace, love and joy like a river, I've got peace, love and joy like a river, I've got peace, love and joy like a river.
Well, folks, Abraham Lincoln, we are celebrating him today. How he liked to float on rivers and and the adventures that he had. All right, so where did we leave off? Here, he was studying law. He wants to be a lawyer. How interesting, right? Well, if he's spending time in the State House as a representative, he's working on writing laws. That's what representatives in the legislature do. So that probably got him even more curious about laws and how they work in the courts. And that's really where the rubber hits the road, where laws are concerned, right? Are, you know, how do they stand up in the courts when it comes to defending our rights? So he's curious, and he is not going to stop learning, even if he has to lay on that counter at the store and do his studying there. I love it. He's so adaptable. I love it. And lucky too, right? Well, I think it's his hard work that's paying off, and his good heart. All right. So in the meantime, Barry, his partner there at the store, took care of things. But instead of selling the goods, Barry only ate and drank the whole day long. And at last, he died. There was Abe with all the debts from the store. It was more than $1,000 that he owed. His store was taken away from him, and all that he owned was sold at an auction. Wow, he's down on his luck again. Boy, things just keep happening to him, huh? Do you think he's going to give up? Well, Abe's father had taught him, if you make a bad bargain, hug it all the tighter. So instead of running away, Abe stayed and toiled to pay back all the debts. See, back in that day, folks, if you ran off, you know, you might get away with it. People might never find you and be able to get their money back. So sometimes people would just run away when they were owed money. But what do you think would happen then, right? What if he someday wanted to run for president? Would he be able to do that if he had ran away and owed all this money? No, so good thing he stuck around and paid back all the debts, even though it wasn't all his fault, right? His friends believed in him, and most of all, a girl whose name was Ann Rutledge. She was sure he would become a great man someday if he would just go on with his studies. And then they would be married, and they'd be happy ever after. But one day, Ann Rutledge took sick, and nothing could be done to save her life. From that day on, it was as if there were two Abes. The one was gay and full of funny stories, and the other was so sad and sorrowful that no one dared to approach him. But he did his work, and he finished his studies, and one morning, he took leave of his friends in New Salem. He borrowed a horse, and sad and penniless, he rode off to Springfield, the capital of Illinois, to become a lawyer. In Springfield, he hitched up his horse on the main square and went into the store of Joshua Speed to ask the price of bedding. "I have no money, but if I succeed, I'll pay you back," he said to Speed. But Speed felt sorry for the sad-faced Abe and told him to take his things upstairs and share his own bed for nothing. From that time on, Joshua Speed was Abe Lincoln's best friend. He took him to the homes of all his elegant friends. And Abe bought himself store clothes, put a stovepipe hat on his head, and by, the country lad was changed into a well-known lawyer. From the prairie all around, people came to ask his advice, for they knew that he would be fair and square. And the people in Springfield began to say that the two cleverest men in town were awkward Abraham Lincoln and stylish Judge Douglas. The one was fat and small, that's Douglas, and the other was lean and tall. And they both courted Mary Todd, who was a lady from Kentucky. Mary Todd was dainty and witty, with a tongue so sharp that few people but Abe could tongue-tie her. Little Miss Todd liked the tall Abe Lincoln, but she liked Judge Douglas, too. He was elegant and important, and Mary was as proud as she was witty. She had great plans for her future. "The man I'm going to marry will be president of the country," she said. Well, it took her a long while to make up her mind which one of her suitors to choose, for they were both very clever men. At last, she chose Abe, and they were married. They did not have much to begin with, for Abe had debts, which he had to pay back. but Mary saved and helped him. They paid off the debts, then they bought a house of their own. It was different from Abe's old home. It was painted white and had green shutters. There were many rooms with stylish furniture, lacy curtains, and plushy carpets. In a few years, Mary and Abraham had three noisy little boys who crawled all over Long Abe when he lay reading on the soft carpet in the parlor. Well, that's where we're going to leave it right now for today. We're going to leave the story right there of Abraham Lincoln, but we'll pick it up next week and we will finish this book so you can find out how this book tells the story of Abraham Lincoln's life. Pretty interesting. We keep ending with him reading. I think that was a big part of how he got to be so smart, right? And thoughtful and learn about the world, because he grew up in the frontier, actually, right? Out in the woods. He actually spent days at a time. We learned about that today. Days at a time in the woods by himself, cutting down trees and talking to the squirrels and chipmunks and watching the trees wave in the wind and practicing his speeches. Who would have thought that a man who spent so much time in the woods alone would grow up to be such an amazing president? Wow. See, we don't know. We never know what we're doing today that's going to prepare us for the future. What are you doing today on this beautiful day? I hope that you are enjoying yourself and enjoying others. We're going to keep celebrating here on Amy's Kids Show. We're almost done for the day. We've been reading from Abraham Lincoln by Ingrid and Edgar Perrin du Allaire.
Weather could keep him away, a learning to read and a learning.
Well, folks, thank you for joining me today for Amy's Kids Show. We have been celebrating Abraham Lincoln because I've been thinking about Abraham Lincoln. Boy, have I ever. I am just learning so much about him. Who knew that he was not only the tallest president, he also was an amazing wrestler. He taught himself law. To become a lawyer, right? He studied all on his own to do that, which is really difficult, especially when he was living in the wilderness, right? But because he had helped that gentleman by buying that barrel, he found the book that he needed. I love that. I love all the examples of magic in Abraham Lincoln's life. That is actually what I like the best. The magic of it. How it all came together, even his experiences in the woods, talking to the squirrels and the chipmunks, that even came in handy for him, right? I mean, even when he, you know, thought he was messing up, not making a living with making a store. He actually lost his store and ended up in debt. Did he run away, though? Nope. He kept working hard. See, all that hard work and honesty, that is what carried him, isn't it? That's what brought him all the great luck that he did need to get where he needed to be. And we're only to the part of the story where he starts a family. We have not gotten to the part where he becomes president yet. I was just looking ahead. That's coming up in the rest of the book, which we will finish this story next week. And we will learn more about what happened to him as a grown-up. But he was also one more amazing thing that I forgot to even mention today. I was going to talk all about it, but I forgot to even mention it. We'll talk about it next time. Abraham Lincoln also was the only president to ever have a patent. A patent for one of his inventions. See, when he got his flatboat stuck, remember we learned about that today? His flatboat was stuck on that dam. And what was he going to do to get over it? Well, he had to think of something, and he had to think of something fast. And we might call that like, oh, that's trouble in Abe's life. Well, actually, he came up with his own invention, probably based on that. He learned about how to raise a ship up, and he came up with his own idea of how that could be done. Isn't that amazing that he came up with his own idea and got a patent for it? That means a way of making sure that your idea stays your idea for a little while at least so that you can make some money off of it. See, Abe had a lot of thoughts about that, about how everybody deserves a way to get up in life, right? And that means us, guys. He did all that for us. So you go out there and have a great day because you are the greatest. Thanks for joining me.
See all these people by the river come to this river to cross on by. I pull this flatboat across the river, guideline to the other side. Water keeps moving, I keep pulling. Water goes somewhere I ain't been. More I let happen, more get. gets better.
Rain brings water back again.
Like this river, life keeps moving. Babies to children to on their own. See the splendor, not the sorrow.
Like this river, have your own song. Faith lets us all cross over to the unknown other side. Each crossing gives us courage that everything is all right. See it, some don't know that life's a treasure, sure as you're born.
What would you pay to cross over
mighty wide river as you can see?
Some pay plenty, some pay little,
some pay nothing right for.
God Almighty,
come to the river to cross on by.
I pull this flatboat, cross this river,
I'll be going by and by. Faith lets us all cross over to the unknown other side.
Everything is all right.